And on the Gauri Vaishnava Vrindavananda, some of the Bhakta Vrindavananda, Prabhanandi, or mystic yoga is to stop the mind and senses from engaging in the activities. The so-called yogis who practice in Western countries have no idea of this. The aim of pranayama is not to make the body strong and fit for working hard. The aim is worship of Krishna. In the previous verse, it was specifically mentioned that whatever austerity pranayama-specific yoga practices Prithu Maharaj performed were performed for the sake of worshipping Krishna. Thus, Prithu Maharaj serves as a perfect example for the yogis also. Whatever he did to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. The minds of those who are addicted to fruitive activities are always filled with unclean desires. Fruitive activities are symptomatic of our polluted desire to dominate material nature. As long as one continues to be subject to polluted desires, he has to accept one material body after another. So-called yogis, without knowledge of the real purpose of yoga practice in order to keep the body fit, thus they engage themselves in fruitive activities and thus they are bound by desire to accept the body. They're not aware that the ultimate goal of life is to approach Krishna. In order to save such yogis from wandering throughout the different species of life, the Shastras warn that in this age such yoga practice is simply a waste of time. The only means of elevation is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. King Prithu's activities took place in Satya Yuga, and in this age, this practice of yoga is misunderstood by fallen souls who are not capable of practicing anything. Consequently, the Shastras enjoin Kalo Nasteva, 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 Nasteva. The conclusion is that unless the Karmis, Jnanis, and Yogis come to the point of devotional service to Lord Krishna, their so-called austerities in yoga have no value. Naraditaha, if Hari, the Supreme Personality of God, is not worshipped, there is no point in practicing meditational yoga, performing Karma Yoga, or cultivating impurity knowledge. As far as pranayama is concerned, chanting of the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy are also considered pranayama. In the previous verse, Sanat Kumar instructed Maharaj Pitta to engage constantly in the service of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Yet Padapangasa Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya Karmasaya Nirvikam Udgata Yanti Shanta. Only by worshipping Vasudeva can one become free from the desires for fruitive activities. Outside of worshipping Vasudeva, the yogis and jnanis cannot attain freedom from such desires. Chadvana Rikdamadayo Yate Gopi Ruta Srokokana Samharanam Bancha Vasudeva. Here the word pranayama does not refer to any ulterior motive. The actual aim is to strengthen the mind and senses in order to engage in devotional service. In the present age, this determination can be very easily acquired simply by chanting the holy names Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By thus practicing severe austerities, Maharaj Prithu gradually became steadfast in spiritual life and completely free of all desires for fruitive activities. He also practiced breathing exercises to control his mind and senses. And by such control, he became completely free from all desires for fruitive activity. So we saw in the previous verses that Prithu Maharaj is practicing vanaprastha life, and he did austerities and lived in the forest, etc., and renounced the kingdom. So the purpose of that was detachment. And here we see a description of the some parts of the yoga practice. So pranayama is generally considered part of the Ashtanga yoga process. There's yama and niyama and asana and then pranayama. So pranayama literally means controlling the breath. Yama and niyama are also yama, which means control. So those are general control and conduct, like no stealing, no hoarding, no sex life, things like this. No violence. So some rules, or general rules, are there. And then we have asana, the positions of the body. And then we have pranayama, or controlling the breath. So these are all physical disciplines. And the goal, of course, ultimately is samadhi, which means
stopping the mind and the senses and all functions of the mind and realizing the Atma. According to Patanjali, who wrote the Yoga Sutras. So, the process is ultimately spiritual, but it involves physical processes like the yamas and niyamas and the asana and the pranayama. And then after that, there is pratyahara, dharana, and jnana, which are mental processes. So, a combination of physical and mental helps to control the senses and the mind. Beyond that, we have the other process of vanaprastha, in which one renounces family, goes to the forest, renounces sense gratification by taking very simple food, etc. So we have that set of rules, the vanaprastha rules, which help to control the senses, and by doing tapasya. And then we have the addition of yoga to adjust the body in such a way that we can become more detached from everything and we can stop the functions of the mind and desire, etc. So that is the function of the yoga process. Simply renunciation by itself may be a little difficult, simply to try to stop the senses. So this is a more sophisticated method of stopping the senses and the mind from acting. More concentrated effort and a more sophisticated method. Therefore, Krishna recommends this process to be superior to karma and jnana. There's more efficiency here in some respects. So we have karma, then we have jnana, then we have yoga. That's the order of superiority. So therefore it becomes a little easier to reach the stage of Atmagyan, understanding Atma, realizing Atma, through the process of yoga. So here we see that this yoga process is also part of the Vanaprastha endeavor, and later we'll also see in discussions in the 7th and the 11th canto, where it talks about Vanaprastha sannyas life. Again, we'll see that they engage in yoga and meditation on chakras, etc. So, the varnashram system in the varnas, then we get in the ashramas, we get the vanaprastha and sannyas ashrams, and then we see that they get involved in jnana and vairagya and yoga. That's part of that system. In itself, of course, these are not really transcendental processes. And therefore, in the 11th canto, Krishna indicates that jnana actually is sattva-guna and bhakti is nirvana. So he doesn't mention yoga directly, but that we also assume yoga also is a process which has given up on liberation, obviously, because you're using your pranas and body, etc., to do different things. So it is all in the mode of sattva, which is binding again. So these processes are therefore inferior to bhakti, which is nirguna. So in this way we have, according to gunas, we can see the superiority of processes, and then we can say the bhakti is beyond that because it is nirguna, completely free of the gunas. So that is why we have this progression from karma, jnana, Sangha Yoga, and then Bhakti, according to Gunas and Nirguna. So here, Prajna Maharaj he doesn't have to do this, but he's setting examples, so therefore he's following the regular procedure. And as we saw in a previous verse, actually he was simply concentrating on the Supreme Lord. He was, his whole idea was to worship the Supreme Lord. However, we'll find that that's not the aim of other vanaprasas and other yogis. They may be more interested in liberation. So they would not include such prominence of bhakti in their sadhanas. So we'll find in the general descriptions of Varnashram system and Vanaprastha and whatever, that the prominence is not given to Bhakti. But Prithu Maharaj, because he was a devotee, he gave prominence to that. But that, of course, is a good example for citizens. Not only was a Vanaprastha, he was also a devotee. So that's a good example to follow. If there is prominence of bhakti along with this, then of course we can call it Yoga Vistra Bhakti. And we'll find in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there's meditation on the Supreme Lord, meditation between the eyebrows, chanting the word Om, etc. So that is, but then the idea is to think of the Supreme Lord. So it is bhakti, but it is Yoga Vistra Bhakti. There's some mixture of the yoga principles involved there. Ultimately, pure bhakti is considered better. So that is why in the purport, Prabhupada rejects all these other processes. He rejects karma, he rejects jnana, and he rejects yoga. So therefore, this implies rejection of the mixed processes also. Karma, Mr. Yoga, jnana, Mr. Yoga, and yoga, Mr. Bhakti. Again, all these things are mixtures. So better that one simply practices pure bhakti without depending on the other processes. So that is the process to follow. So in the purport, Prabhupada quotes another verse from the previous chapter. By devotion to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, all the knots of karma in the heart are destroyed. So the process of jnana is there to destroy from that. The process of yoga is to do that. They want to destroy the knots of karma, the false ego, the actions of the mind, etc. And this, of course, is the indirect goal of karma yoga. To gradually bring a person to sattva gun, where he'll be interested in destroying all of these things and then getting liberation. So here, the same result is achieved by devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord. The devotees untie the knot of karma in the heart by the process of worshipping the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So they do this how? Others cannot do it so easily. Other persons, the yogis, they may endeavor, but they cannot get the same result in the easy way. So therefore the recommendation is simply worship the Supreme Lord. So that of course is the Yuga Dharma, nasteva, 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 gandhira, yata. Reject karma and jnana and yoga, and simply perform bhakti. So that is the actual recommendation of this age. The other processes are there for other ages. So in Satya Yuga or in Treta Yuga or in Dwarpa Yuga, people are qualified by more sattva. So they can follow the process of jnana and whatever, and they can meditate and do other processes easier. Very difficult in Kali Yuga for them to do any of these things. So therefore bhakti alone is recommended. So in the process, in bhakti itself, then we also have a gradation of processes. Some are easier than others. Atmanivedana is considered not so easy to do. So that surrender may be there, but it's a little difficult to practice on a daily level. So then we have other processes like hearing and chanting and remembering, etc. And now remembering also is a little difficult for people to do directly because it indicates meditation. So it is an anga bhakti, but nevertheless a little more difficult to do. So therefore, the main processes ultimately become hearing and chanting. And of those two processes, the chanting process is considered the Yuga Dharma. But we should not think that we can separate that from other processes. Because without hearing properly, we cannot chant properly. If we don't have any knowledge, then the chanting may be namabhas. So we do have to have the hearing process to accompany the chanting process. And of course, then we have other things like deity worship and association of devotees. also very important. Okay? So the whole combination is there, but the emphasis is put upon chanting the name of the Supreme Lord, particularly the name of Krishna. In that way, the process in Kali Yuga becomes quite simple. Yeah, they have to do bhakti. And even yoga, if they don't have some bhakti, they cannot even get liberation. They cannot get the result of liberation unless they also do some bhakti. Because only the Supreme Lord is the Lord of liberation. Yeah, this is what Prithu was doing. Can be done, but that if one depends only on that, then it becomes yoga mitra bhakti. Well, he may not have direct knowledge of Shastra, but at the same time, if he's realized Krishna, then he actually understands all of Shastra, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Sorry?
He's understood all of Shastra if he's understood Krishna completely. Yeah, because Krishna is everything. Krishna is everything. Yeah. So, if he actually realizes him, then of course he's got all knowledge already, because Krishna is all knowledge. So he doesn't need the Vedas or anything else anymore. But to get to that realization, usually we need some knowledge of Shastra. We have to know the difference between Jiva and Krishna, the difference between Brahman and Paramatma and Bhagavan. We have to know these things. If we don't know these things, then we may just be interested in getting liberation. We won't realize Krishna at all. If we have association with devotees and we have some scriptures, then we do. If we just do it on our own, we may not. We may do everything wrong. And we concoct everything.
Even if somebody doesn't have knowledge, if he's standing so close and fire, you may not know what he's
doing. Yeah, so like Ajamil, he can get rid of his karmas that way. But that doesn't guarantee he can get Krishna.
But anyway, before you fell down, you were a devotee.
Who?
Ajamila.
Not really, he was a Brahmin. He didn't even have attraction for Narayan, so accidentally he chanted the name, gave his son the name Narayan, not because he was interested in Narayan the deity. He just chose that name. But I assume he was not a Vaishnava.
But why
were
you able to remember Krishna at the time of death?
He didn't. He remembered the name of his son.
Yeah, but when he called his son name, but he actually remembered Narayan also.
No, he was calling his son. And then the Yamadutas came for him.
But one thing, Krishna's mercy, he gave the name of his son as Narayan.
Well, accidentally.
He didn't give the name of somebody else.
It doesn't really say, but...
I was having one class, that name is given by one Acharya, so the potency.
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't mention that in Bhagavatam, who was given by Acharya or whatever. But anyway, he didn't appreciate it, whatever. Well, it's accidental devotional service, that chanting. It's a type of namabhas, accidental chant. Does he always chant the name of the son?
But anyway, he called his son's name Narayan, but because he had done some service for Krishna, so then he was calling his son's name Narayan, but then actually he remembered Narayan when he was giving him.
Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say he remembered Narayan. He was attached to his son, so he called out for his son. I think one of the Acharyas, Madhva, or Sampradaya, they say that he also remembered Narayan, but our Acharyas don't say that.
He should have remembered Narayan, then he should have gone to Vaikuntham. So he should not have taken another word.
Yeah, whatever.
There many others also chant the son's name as Narayan Srinivas. Why, maybe whenever a special Leela purpose or?
What's understand?
Many others also keep chanting the Killer's name, Narayan,
Srinivas, Mukunda. Yeah, so they can destroy the karmas. They can destroy the karmas. We don't see that, but they can destroy the karmas with that.
Because of the Namabas, he was saved from the Yamadutas. That is the end result of what his action gave. But if it has not been pure, if it have been pure chanting, then he should have got some much more.
He would have been a devotee.
But devotees engage in activities to maintain family. How far is it considered food? Devotees engage in activities to maintain the family. How far is it considered food?
Well, if they act according to rules without over attachment, then it's okay. I suppose if you can do that properly and regulate your breath at the same time, it would be. But it's rather difficult for most people to do that.
But anyway, devotees, they will follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, even though in any ashram. But still, we can be liberated, isn't it? In any ashram, they follow the rules and regulations of devotional service.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Even if you're not in an ashram, it doesn't matter. If you do bhakti, you can get the best results. Bhakti is not dependent on varna or ashram.
Despite that so much stress in the scriptures, that chanting the holy name sustains any condition of life. Maybe in the nature of the living is other than chanting the holy name.
Why
is it?
Ignorance. It's no faith. It's very attached to the material world, and therefore its faith is in material things.
But that's it. I'm glad the faith is not sure. Then only one can get the other brother.
Yeah.
And then both of them, they did not show.
Strong faith is necessary.
Yantras is a human Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
Ibanas Maharaj ki. Yeah. Is a way that is a good way to go to Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. That's good.
Thank you.